talk about learning experiences. That was a learning experience. I tried to do that live just now, and obviously it went south real quick. But, yeah, Joe, it went south real quick, man. But everybody, welcome to the show. And with me, as always, I have the incomparable Joe. Joe, that was a great show Sunday night, man. Great show Sunday night. It's nice to see you here.
Yeah,
in town.
It was fun, man. The crowd was good. It was a good time.
Yeah, great time. We'll get to that a little bit more here in a moment. Also with us today, the legendary Batman. I have a Batman button somewhere. How you doing, Batman?
Mama, can you hear
Batman?
Me? I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
Good, man. Good. I was talking to Joe about the show he put on here in Houston earlier this week. By the way, last night he was in Chicago, no less. In Chicago, this guy gets around, I'm telling you, Joe Bates. Joe, that was a great show you put on here, man. Great time.
Thanks, man. It was fun. I'm glad you came out. I had a good time. The crowd was fun. The other acts I had on the show, I like them a lot. One guy's a little bit weird. Some people weren't on board for him, but overall, it was a fun show.
Yeah, there was a little bit of weirdness, but it was a fun show. So,
and you mean Batman?
How
Batman
doing?
Was what?
Yeah, Batman. Go ahead, Batman.
Batman was there, but he was just in the corner up top in the ceiling, just kind of watching.
Yeah, he was.
I was busting
the
thing.
You could see him up there in the moon silhouette and shit.
Yeah, he was full stealth.
I was hanging out in the rafters like Sting.
Yeah, you're like Sting. Not like going hard, like Sting.
Not like going hard. All right.
Too soon. Hey, we're gonna try to bail through this show, so we're gonna just roll right through it, man. It's gonna be good for everybody involved, including the listeners, because you know today it's just one of those days, man. It's freaking 97 degrees outside right now, man. And the sad thing is, I have to go back and get out there again here in a little bit, but we'll talk about that on another show, maybe. Let's get on with it, man. Brief Raw discussion. So let's go, man. Raw. Let's see, we had the I'll read down the matches that we had real quick. We had an Intercontinental Championship match, the challenge with Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. That was up. Let's see, then we had we had a Money in the Bank qualifying match with No Way Jose versus Baron Corbin versus Bobby Roode. Okay, the first match Seth Rollins won. This match Bobby Roode won. Then we had, the formation of the B team versus Breezango, and the B team won. They won. They're undefeated right now, the B team. Then we had a tag match. Let's see here. Yeah, Sasha Banks, Natalya, and Ember Moon versus the Riot Squad. And then the winners on that was Sasha Banks, Natalya, and Ember Moon. Natalya playing a baby face right now. The Revival versus the Deleter of Worlds, and the Deleter of Worlds won that one. Sami Zayn came out and had a lengthy promo about Bobby Lashley, saying he's going to expose the real Bobby Lashley. And then, let's see, we had a Money in the Bank qualifying match with Alexa Bliss versus Mickie James versus Bayley, and the winner there was Alexa Bliss. Let's see, moving on, they had Finn Balor and Braun Strowman versus Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre in a match that Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler won by pinfall, no less. And let's see here, then we had Elias versus Kevin Owens versus Bobby Lashley. Kevin Owens won that match, and that was it. That was it. That was also a Money in the Bank qualifying match. So Kevin Owens found his way in. All right, so everything that I said there, all the results and everything, anything that struck anybody, let's start with Joe Bates. What are your thoughts on Raw? And go ahead and go through anything that you want on there.
I think what sticks out for me is, and this may not be necessarily Raw, but I think Kevin Owens won because they need someone to take a really big bump at Money in the Bank, and Kevin Owens is really good at taking a really big bump. He's usually the guy they like throw through three ladders because he never gets hurt for some reason.
Oh man, that's an interesting thought. You know what I thought about Kevin Owens? It was good to see him get in. He found a way to get in using the help of the Authority by, you know, calling Stephanie and stuff. So they've got the general manager, Kurt Angle, they've got him in a pinch right there and making him look weak as a weak, you know, GM. The thing about Seth Rollins, though, is Seth Rollins, right now, man, if you're going to go up against Seth Rollins, you're going to lose because I think he's going to have that title on him for a long time to try to make that title relevant and meaningful.
He's on fire right now. Can do no wrong. He's good promo. That guy's got charisma when he comes out, just like headbanging and everything. And you heard that pop. I don't know if you heard that recently. That pop, like, that was the loudest when it says "burn it down" in the beginning. It's like, burn it.
Yeah,
that was loud. That was a huge pop, man. That's like, that was like, I likened that to the, what are they called? Not the Legion of Doom, the Animal, Hawk and Animal, when they used to get that pop.
Yeah.
The Road Warrior pop. Yeah, Road Warrior pop. He's on fire, man. He can't do no wrong. So right now, him having the title's awesome. One thing like Joe Bates, you don't mind me saying.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if you don't mind me saying with the Joe, I agree with him with the Kevin Owens too. Like, I've seen lately he's been like not jobbing, but he's just been putting people over. But he does such a good job with it, like taking the big bumps. All those bumps that he's been taking, like when he gets like that one we had, that trifecta where he just kept getting run over by Braun Strowman, like just I agree with you, man. They had to let him weasel his way in so he can do the big spots because they need that guy.
And that definitely makes sense on that, Joe. That's a good analysis there on your part.
I would also say that you said that they're going to have Seth Rollins build up the Intercontinental title. And I kind of want to take a second and be like, The Miz already built up
the
Intercontinental
US
title.
Yeah, sorry, it's the U.S. title.
And,
yeah.
Well, Rollins has the Intercontinental title.
Doesn't Seth Rollins have the... Oh, no, yeah, it is the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, and The Miz The Miz built that title back up in the relevance, and Seth Rollins is going to... I think he's doing a great job with it. Again, he's on fire. I agree with all of you guys on that one. But I just want to make sure The Miz gets credit.
Oh, absolutely right.
He's my favorite.
For some reason, I was thinking it was the freaking U.S. title, so thank you for setting me straight on that, too, man.
That's what I'm here for. I'm a Miz apologist.
And I'll tell you what, man, after that gig Sunday night, I'm never gonna drop a cup at one of your gigs, man. That's good. You'd have to have been there. But anyway, guys, so there was also a strange video package that kind of was a little weird. You know, Nia Jax challenging Rousey for the title. Rousey hasn't done anything yet to deserve the title, which she said, you know. Of course, all that was scripted. But, you know, is this a clear path to put the title on Rousey?
I don't know.
Nia Jax going to be just a transition champion?
I hope not.
Are you surprised? Are you surprised when you ask that question, though? Do you think?
I wouldn't want her to be that. They're gonna do.
I mean, I wouldn't want her either. But are you surprised? Like, I'm glad she felt. To me, her championship run is like how with Becky Lynch. Like, I was glad she won it.
Yeah.
But it felt like you just put it on just so we get to the next role. Ronda Rousey versus the immovable object. And then she's been doing really good. I've noticed, if you notice with her promos, they've been trying to make her really humble. Like, oh, no, I don't deserve this. This is going too quick.
Yes.
And her Instagram photos are, like, really butt-kissing. Not butt-kissing, but, like, she's just real. Maybe that's her. Maybe she just really is enjoying her time. But I've noticed they want to make her real, like, ferocious, and she is in the ring and what she's done already. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I've noticed they've made her, like, really – like, they try to really humble her down, like, really, like, down. You know what I don't know. It kind of makes her look weak at it in a way. I don't know.
I think they did that because of Roman Reigns and how Roman Reigns turned out. Because they want to get Ronda Rousey the title, but they don't want to look like WWE's forcing it on her. So with her going in there, like, oh, I haven't earned it yet. Maybe that's their way to kind of not get that Roman Reigns kind of heat.
Interesting. You know what? And that makes darn good sense. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the other Money in the Bank qualifying matches, the one that featured No Way Jose and Baron Corbin and Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode. You knew No Way Jose wasn't going to win. To me, it was going to be between Baron Corbin and Bobby Roode the whole time. Bobby Roode ends up winning. It looks like Baron Corbin again stays, down below, and Bobby Roode is going to go up now to be in the Money in the Bank. So, Bobby Roode, is he the right guy for this?
If I could go real quick, Bobby Roode, I would like, I can actually see him being Mr. Money in the Bank, cashing it in and going there. You know what I mean? I love that guy. Just TNA, Beer Money, that guy, he's glorious, man. He really is that word. He's just awesome. He's smooth in the ring. He's like an older, he's like Randy Orton, man. He's just smooth. You know what I mean? The way he slithers in, and he just does it perfect. Like, his spots, he's real meticulous. Like, he's a real calculated person in the ring. And I can actually see him going all the way. No Way Jose, I hate that guy. He reminds me, he's like a Adam Rose 2.0. Oh, man. I want to give the guy,
I'm
going to be
on that one.
But it's Adam Rose 2.0.
What about Baron Corbin? Is he taking a back seat now,
He's kind of been taking a back seat. Like, they'll try to get him somewhere, and he's got something. Maybe it's just the charisma part to it. You know, he's like one of those brooding guys, and sometimes it's kind of hard to get over, to get a person over, the character over, when they have that.
Joe, any other thoughts you'd like to add on that?
Well, I think Baron Corbin has kind of found his role in the WWE as like a mid-card heel. Like, they're not going to be able to push him up, but I think he's kind of really smoothly got into this kind of, this weird tough guy that's just kind of in the middle. We'll face for like Intercontinental Championship and like USA Championship, but he's never going to be it. There's too much talent for him to be in the main title. Maybe down the line, he is younger, maybe down the line he could kind of figure it out. But he's definitely evolved in the last few years, more so than I thought he would. And then Bobby Roode, what I like about this Money in the Bank, I think most of all, is I can talk myself into anybody who's in Money in the Bank currently winning it.
Damn.
Like, there's not somebody in Money in the Bank right now.
That's leading
and Bobby
the way,
Roode's probably
yeah.
the lowest level. Yeah, but Bobby Roode's probably the lowest chance of winning, I think. But even then, if he wins, that's his heel turn, and then he gets to be that NXT Bobby Roode, which I think was the best version of Bobby Roode.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens. But that's what I liked about everything that's happened so far with Money in the Bank. I know there's only one slot left, which I'm very much hoping it's not Roman Reigns in that last spot.
God, I hope not.
Yeah, it's because there's one spot left, and they're not giving it to SmackDown, so I'm not looking forward to that at all.
If they did add Roman Reigns, do you think people would walk out like they have been in the past couple of main events?
No, it's Money in the Bank. They're not going to walk out because there's not a guarantee that Roman's going to win it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
there's not a guarantee.
But it's a high percentage that he will.
I agree with you with what you say with the build-up, though. Joe, the way you said that, the way everything's been building up for Money in the Bank, I agree with you, because the last Backlash just felt like so rushed and just, you know, like a SmackDown with Raw peppered in. This one feels like they're really trying to get something in there, like Asuka, Carmella. I mean, the Money in the Bank. Said I actually like the tag team, the idea of the tag team Money in the Bank. Like, they're really getting a good build up here. So.
Is that an official thing? The tag team Money in the Bank.
Yeah, it is.
It became official the other night. So let's see. Gotcha. What about B Team guys? Did you guys find those guys entertaining?
I like
the B Team because they're the best team.
I'm glad they're getting work.
I am too. They had me laughing, and you know what? They're undefeated. That's the best thing. They're undefeated right now.
They got families to feed, man. It's okay.
Sasha Banks, Natalya Moon, or Natalya and Ember Moon, Riot Squad, Batman, go.
I think we were talking about this earlier, man. I think we mentioned this in previous podcasts too. I really want the whole, like, they've kind of had this idea of rumored around of trying to bring like a tag team title division and like in for the
Dolphins.
Just all these matches that they've been having, the women and all the tag team, you know, to give them all spots and the exposure or whatever, you know, airtime. This is a perfect time. Like, to me, I feel like, man, it's time. It is time to get a title for them, like the Riot Squad, Absolution, Asuka, Charlotte, the Iconics. I just feel like it's time. I don't know if anybody else agrees with me, or I think they've actually done it with TNA, but I think this is time for WWE to, like, man, you got the roster for it. The girls always kill it. I love the tag team matches. Every girl there has talent. It's time to put another title there instead of just the women. We need a tag team women's division or tag team intercontinental.
Something.
We need more titles, man, because these girls, they need something more to fight. Their tag team matches, the way they are now, they're killing it. But just something about having
that
title.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah, you just having the title on the line makes it even more special. You know what I mean? So if they're killing me now with just a regular tag team match, imagine with the title on the line. It's like, oh, man, I just feel like it's time. I just feel like I need to bring that up. Yeah, it's time. It's time.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I think we did bring that up or touch on that last week or the week before. But, Joe, what about since Batman says it's time, I believe it's time. I think you believe it's time. Would it also be time to perhaps – try out a one-hour show for the women?
I don't like that idea because I like that it's integrated. I like that it's integrated with the men's wrestling because then that makes look like it's on par with the same thing. If you separate it, then it's like this is their thing and this is our thing.
Taking a step back.
Yeah, and I think I agree with the women's tag team title, and I think that's a good idea. I think one of the reasons WWE may not do it is because they have the branding, Raw versus SmackDown branding still. So do they make two women tag team titles for SmackDown and Raw? And if they do that, is there enough women to make that interesting? I think there may be. But then now we have, if we do that, then we have, 10 titles total, 10 belts. That's a lot of belts.
That is a lot of belts.
I mean, that is a lot of belts. But see, I think that's where I would bring that point from where we mentioned this before, that the brand-specific pay-per-views, if you mix them up, then it just feels too dirty. It just feels too, like, just thrown together. But if you have, like, a Raw-specific pay-per-view, SmackDown-specific pay-per-view, then I think those title things could work because now you're only focused on just SmackDown titles, and here you're only focused on Raw titles. Instead of everything being bunched together, and you're like, well, so which one is this? Is it a Raw title or is it a SmackDown title? I'm confused now. Which one are they on? Which show is this one? You know what I mean? I think that would only work if they did it Raw or brand-specific.
The only other idea I had is maybe if you're the woman tag team title holders, then you're just on both shows automatically.
They could do something like that too. But
didn't it was the Jarrett show or Jarrett when it was
Jarrett show. I think the men's tag team used to be like that.
Yeah, they would go back and forth.
Let's see.
Because now, the WWE roster has never been bigger than it is right now.
It's freaking massive, man. They have so much talent. I've never seen them with this much talent. Like, you could literally make a pay-per-view with – you could make back-to-back pay-per-views, one on Monday night and one on Tuesday night. Remember when they used to have that shit on Tuesday? And use different superstars and have just two different ones, two different payouts.
See, to me, there's so many, like right now, though, people say, talk about the territories. Right now, the territories is the indies. The indies is the back then territory kind of thing. But WWE is so massive, I feel like they have, it's their own, they're a territory within a territory. Within their company, NXT is its own thing, Raw's its own thing, SmackDown's its own thing. Then you got these little shows peppered in here and there, but it's like, you got 205 Live. Yeah, it's like, it's its own, a territory within a territory.
Yeah. Speaking of indie shows, I got tickets to go to All In.
Chicago.
Hell,
no,
really?
You did not.
Oh, man, I just read about that.
It sold out
yesterday.
In 30 minutes.
Yeah, CM Punk's going to be there. Pretty excited about it.
Man,
oh,
that
my
is
God,
bad.
I'm so jealous, man.
That is awesome. Good for you, man. That's going to be awesome. Maybe you can do a live report.
I'll just have the phone on.
Just joshing, man. So the Deleter of Worlds seems like they're on a big push. Sami Zayn and Bobby Lashley are going to have a thing. Alexa Bliss and Mickey James and Bayley. The thing I wanted to touch on here, for me, to me it was between Alexa Bliss and Bayley. No way Mickey James is going to win because she's there to put these younger cats over. But I thought, man, they had me believing that they were going to pull the trigger on Bayley. But I'll be darned. Alexa Bliss. She gets the tap again. So she's back in the she's in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Thoughts, anybody?
Look, Bayley is perfection, so don't ever be mad or hate whenever she wins. Because that's just where she belongs on top. She's the queen, man. So, I'll just say that. Mickey James, on the other hand, I wouldn't mind her winning a championship again, just at least once, just to put the people over. You know what I mean? So that way, if somebody, like, to give a rub to somebody, like, here's her, give her a little, through like, a month or two title run, so that way she can start a program with someone else that needs the belt, and she can just give them that rub. Like, oh, I beat Mickey James for the belt. You know what I mean? So I would like to see that. I still, Mickie James still has it, though. She's never lost it. Mickie James kills it every single time.
No, of course not. But I do think that she's there just to put people over in that type of role.
Yeah.
But I really thought they would pull the trigger with Bayley because, you know, she's another one of those. But, you know, I guess she's going to be one of those that just, you know, just never gets the title.
I know, man, and that sucks. I really like Bayley.
You know, there's people that fall in that category, you know.
Is Bayley and Sasha Banks never going to happen? Like, whatever happened to Bayley versus Sasha Banks?
They need to have a freaking Hell in a Cell or something.
I don't know what happened to that, though. Yeah, that is true. They've just teased it, and then nothing happened.
They need to finish it off, man. In a
It doesn't matter what storyline, where you put Bayley in. It's like they rocket strap her, and then, like, it explodes midair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She just... And I love Bayley though. Yeah, I always felt like she was the one, like the one out of the litter, the little small one, the runt of the litter. That's how she was with the four horsewomen or whatever. For NXT.
I always thought they were gonna do some type of Cena deal with Bayley. And
they talked about her like she was gonna be the next Cena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just never happened.
And then nothing happened.
Weird.
Now, pinch poke, you on your coke.
So let's see here. Another thing, and this is the last part of it. Oh, no, it's not. It's not. Second to last. The Finn Balor and Braun Strowman versus Dolph Ziggler and Drew Mack. Finn Balor and Braun Strowman. Wait a minute. Who won that? Dolph Ziggler and Drew. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, at the beginning of that match, man, the look on Finn Balor's face, it was when Braun Strowman was coming, it was kind of crazy, and then next thing you know, he was, like, handing it up with Braun. But I swear, the look I saw on his face, it was like, man, dude, I don't really want to do this. But then, you know, Braun got in there, and they started hamming it up together. I thought it was an entertaining match, though. The Braun Strowman, though, he's unstoppable right now, but they did lose. They did lose to Tyre, who's looking freaking like a beast, man. And by the way, I have to say this, and we might run a little long on this, but I have to say it. What about them billing freaking – they're billing McIntyre as being 6'5", and they're billing Strowman as being 7 feet tall, and they stand up next to each other, and clearly Strowman is only like 2 freaking inches taller, man.
Yeah.
But they've
like,
always
I remember
been
that. I remember McIntyre when he started. I was like, I didn't think he was this big a guy.
Man, I don't think he was.
He got big.
I really don't think he was. I don't think he was as tall as he is. Did he have a late?
No, Drew McIntyre looks like he ate his old self.
He does. He looks. He really does.
He grew some
he
hair on
like
his
ate
chest. He became a man.
His nuts dropped.
Exactly.
So yeah, man, McIntyre, you know, Strowman took a loss, even though it was a tag team loss, but still, Strowman took a loss
I like that little mixture, though, LeBron and the Finn Balor. The thing about Finn Balor, what I like about that guy is, like, he's not a small guy. You can tell he's a big, like, he's just a mass, like a tip kind of dude, you know? But just the way he gives himself off, like, he's like a little kid. Like, he plays Legos. Probably, like, eats pancakes in the morning with his mom. You know what I mean? But he's like a when you said that interaction, like, that look on his face, I was like, that's why it works so well, because he just has, like, that puppy dog face to him, like, that his attitude, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in the ring, obviously, he's a vicious-ass pit bull, but he just has that face like, oh, man, no ice cream today. Damn. You know? He's just like, well, he's like an innocent face guy. But he's awesome. I just want to point that out. I like that mixture. I really like that match.
I wonder if
nothing to do with Braun Strowman from now until they give him the title, I guess. So they're just kind of giving these weird tag matches.
Yeah, I know, man. It's, you know, I think they should bring Kane back, man, and have a little program with Strowman and Kane or something.
Hasn't been too bad, though, because Strowman's already kind of winning everybody over, where this guy can just have a match with anybody, and as long as he does his good little spot, it's the shit. Like when he did that trifecta with Kevin Owens, he ran him over. That's all he's got to do. He did that to Drew, didn't he?
Yeah.
Ran over Drew, And that's all you need, though, sometimes. He's doing what he needs to do. What he's doing it well, to say that. And it's just
They might be just trying to teach him more how to wrestle, because he's still like he's a lot
green.
Better, but he's still a little bit green. Yeah,
he's still really green when you think about it. They've just put him in a lot of spots. He's like the Big Show in WCW days.
Yeah,
he came
they
in and won the title
Elias,
the first time. Yeah. Oh yeah,
they cut off Elias from giving us a concert this week, man. They freaking Owens cut him off. I was looking forward. That's like my weekly highlight of Raw, man, and they robbed it from me. But they had that match, and, you know, Kevin Owens found his way, which we already talked about that. So, shit. That's the Raw brief discussion. Went a little long, but you know what? Fuck it. We'll just get right into it. No commercials. No commercials, man. SmackDown. Once again, from London, England, just like Raw, yeah. So they kicked off with Renee Young. She introduced Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan came out, big freaking pops and shit. But then shortly after, Big Cass came out. Oh yeah, Bryan cut a promo, said that he wasn't just glad to be back, and now that he's back, he wants to be back on top. And shit. So Big Cass comes out and he's like, no, hold on, and blah, blah, blah. He goes on to say that he lost because of him, that it was all because of him. He's asking questions as he's making his way up to the ring. Daniel Bryan is a loser. Cass, you know, he was trying his best to be entertaining, and he was all right, I guess. He needs to put more feel into it. But he gets in the freaking ring, man. And Bryan had just had enough, attacked him, beat the shit out of him. Beat the shit out of him. Beat up his knee and shit. Just beat the crap out of him, man. And then I think that's going to be it for Big Cass. So he's supposed to have some heat on him for doing some things to that midget that he wasn't supposed to do a couple of weeks ago, apparently. Or I don't know what's going on there.
I didn't hear anything about this.
Yeah, something about some heat. I don't know if it's going to be the it for him completely. But it was kind of strange the way they took him out of that thing with Daniel Bryan. I thought he was featured later at the end of the night against somebody else.
Samoa Joe called out Big Cass.
There you go. Samoa Joe ended up calling out Big Cass. So, obviously, I mean, it looks like they're going to feed Big Cass to Samoa Joe. You know, they're taking him out of
that
Bryan program.
I don't get that. I just don't get
it.
What are they going to do with Samoa Joe? What are they going to do? Big Cass, already, it's already like, eh. But Samoa Joe, I've been saying this, I think, in the past couple podcasts, they just throw him into whatever. And, like, I love the guy, but it's kind of like getting old. Like, give him a good story. Yeah, he can set a good promo, but I want to see the guy in something with substance, you know what I mean? Instead of just, like,
yeah.
He just kind of, it's like he just walks into the room and it's like, hey, what's up, guys? You want to fight? No? Okay, cool. And he walks out the room, goes to another room, hey, what's up, guys? You want to fight? No? Okay, let's go. And that's all he's doing. And it just confuses me. Like, I just don't know.
I'm going to be looking into the news this week to see what's going on with that, man, because I found it very strange that just like that, they pulled Big Cass from a you know, that's a big deal. He's going against Daniel Bryan. That's a big deal. He's probably the most over wrestler ever, maybe. Who knows? I mean, those freaking yeses were big time, man, the other night in London. They were huge.
Oh, yeah.
So, and they took him out of that, you know, and they fed him to Joe. They fed him to Samoa Joe. Joe Bates, your thoughts on that?
I think they're trying to turn Joe into a face.
Holy shit.
And
I don't think that's the right way to do it.
No, I agree. I don't think it's the right way to do it. I think they're just trying to figure out, because I think SmackDown doesn't have a lot of faces outside AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan.
No, you got a point there. But, I mean, that's kind of like, it's like they're treating him like a dog. Like, they got all these good meals, and when somebody doesn't want something, they're like, I don't want this chicken right here, throw it to the dog. Or there goes Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
There goes Samoa Joe. Just give it to Samoa Joe. Just give it. I don't. I just don't get it. Like, I think he just. And it's true. I mean, it makes him sound bad, but he deserves better than that, man. He kind of reminds me, like, they're doing him like they did Taz, right? When Taz came in, he was this huge suplexing machine, and then what happened? Like nothing. Like they just they just threw him here and there until he finally disappeared, and then now you didn't even see him anymore. You just had his voice in your ear all day, you know, because he became the commentator. And are they going to do that to Joe? I don't think that's cool. You can tell how passionate I am about the
interviews.
Like, damn it.
With Joe. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
No, Joe. I mean, Samoa Joe is amazing. He's an amazing talent, and he's being underutilized, which sucks. But I think that one of the reasons they're turning him face or whatever they're trying to do with him is that, again, this is me guessing what's going to happen. Is they want Shinsuke to beat AJ Styles, and then they're going to feed Joe to Shinsuke so Shinsuke can look strong beating somebody, and then Daniel Bryan can beat Shinsuke.
Oh.
They want Shinsuke to look strong, and Joe's probably the best one to put up against him to do that before Daniel Bryan takes the title, and then Miz catches Money in the Bank. It's my world that I've written in my head.
And this is your world, and
it's a damn good world. Man.
This
you know,
is the world that you've created, right? they can do so much, but I think it's funny. It's weird, but you know what? Essentially, what Batman was saying there is that Joe is getting hoed out. He's getting hoed out. Just beat him to Joe, man. But no, listen. I've read some interviews with Joe, though, and he seems quite happy with his relationship with WWE.
I've heard some stuff on different podcasts, Sam Roberts and stuff. Yeah, I agree with you. He seems happy.
You know, so I think he might be in that yes man type of role. And the same thing with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens recently came out and said, hey, he's probably going to retire with WWE. And he also said that if his career ended tomorrow, that he would be happy. And he just recently signed a 5-year deal. Guys, go ahead.
Nobody?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Joe?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, Kevin Owens had the Universal title, and other than headlining WrestleMania, what more can he do, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Batman?
Well, I was going to say that I agree with you with the, just kind of, I guess the word would be complacent, because, if you haven't noticed, I don't know if you know or watch the network or anything, but I've been seeing, commercials, the toy commercials, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens now. They have, that little wrestling commercial now, and they've been just, pretty much just putting everybody over, and it's they're just, the mid-card guy, but he seems happy doing it, you know what I mean? He's just, the way he sells for people, you can tell that he's enjoying doing it. It's not, a forced thing.
I love
just,
his work, man. I love KO's
work. I love his work, yeah. So I guess I could understand what you're saying. He does seem happy. He's just you know what? I busted my ass these 10, 15 years before that. I'm here making good money. And all I got to do
and
is
I
put
guess
these
Samoa
guys over.
Joe, and I guess Samoa Joe is looking at it like that, too. I mean, these guys, he worked his freaking ass off the TNA making peanuts compared to what he's making now. You know?
Yeah,
now
Samoa
he's getting up people and shit.
I think Samoa Joe makes
it.
That's crazy. Yeah, I never watched it. I watched it a couple times. I was I just can't. I don't like it.
I watched it back when Samoa Joe was on. There was a period when I watched it. So they had a New Day and versus The Bar in a Money in the Bank qualifying match. But this is the thing where Batman was saying that he thought it was official. I thought I heard them say that they were picking that one of the New Day, they had to decide which one was going to go to Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
That's what this match was, right? So if Cesaro
this
and Sheamus would have won, they would have had to have decided which one of them goes on, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think this is where there's been a lot of word that Big E is going to get a singles push or some type of push like that. This is probably the way they're going to execute that. At least my Spidey senses are telling me that, and I'm not even Spider-Man.
I agree with you.
What are your Batman? What are your Batman senses telling you?
My Batman.
Are they
going to
pick
singling.
Big E?
I can actually see Big E doing the singles role because he that's how he started, right? In the beginning, he came out as AJ's lackey, and then he did
yeah,
a
he
role.
Was,
I mean, they all did,
right.
too. But it was a pretty – he did pretty decent. I don't know, man. I don't think I'm ready for them to split yet. Yeah, they're kind of already overcooked. But to me, they're like bacon. Sometimes you can – still leave it a little extra crispier than usual, and it's still good. You know what I mean? That's a weird analogy, but it's still good. I don't want them to split yet. I feel like that. I like the whole dynamic of the three birds. I just like it because I think it's because they're the only ones to really do that. So I don't want them to split that up. You know what I mean? Everybody else is a two-man team. I really like that dynamic of them just switching back and forth, and they just entertain the hell out of me. So.
Joe,
I don't
your
think
thoughts
they
on that? Is this where Big E goes a separate way?
I don't know because, and I go back to interviews from what Xavier Woods has said, and Xavier Woods has said that he's just happy just retiring with the New Day, just sticking with the New Day his whole career, and he doesn't really want a singles title. All he wants, he said he would rather have Kofi Kingston. He'd rather Kofi Kingston have an individual title before he does. So, I think, I know Big E is more of the draw because he's a huge person, But Kobe puts better matches on singles than and then Big E. And Xavier is kind of like a hidden gem as a singles competitor, which is pretty good. And
yeah.
Xavier's the one that has the Up Up Down Down show, which is great. He's the one that's been like, he basically made the New Day.
Uh-huh.
So I really don't know because, like, any one of them is great by themselves. So I thought the bar was going to win that match because of the way Sheamus and Cesaro have been talking to each other last week. So I have no clue. I'm kind of flabbergasted at this choice. And I don't know what's going to happen next, which is good. It's good to have them in the WWE.
Right. Yeah, when you can start figuring it all out, that's when it becomes boring.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I don't like it when I'm able to figure it out. So let's see here. Andrade Cien Almas, he had a match against a jobber. Of course, he won. They cut a promo. They said they're here, blah, blah, blah. Melibration. Now, I'm looking forward to this guy and his chick, you know, but there's nothing yet, so we'll move on. Melibration. The Melibration comes out. It happens. Then she comes out, starts
Paige.
Talking shit. Paige comes out, introduces Asuka. What about the crowd, though, chanting, Asuka's going to get you? Carmella was leaving the ring. shit. So, Melibration, thoughts, guys. Joe Bates.
I am shocked how good Carmella is on the mic. She is really good. She carried a whole segment by herself. I think Alexa Bliss had this similar situation where she had to carry a whole segment against somebody.
I remember, yes.
And it just fell flat. And
yes,
Carmella
I remember
held that by herself and just nailed it out of the park. I was very surprised at that. And then, of course, Asuka. I mean, that was kind of, what else is Asuka going to do? You know, of course she's coming out there to go fight Carmella. I don't know. I think Asuka wins this fight, but to me, the takeaway is that Carmella held her own on the mic for like 5 minutes by herself, which even Roman Reigns can't do that.
Yeah. I personally would love it if Carmella wins. I would like to see her win this. I think she's certainly has worked hard to get to where she's at. It would be a shame to see them take it from her, but I think that they are going to take it from her, but we'll see, man. It's, you know, this is where the surprise factor comes in sometimes, man. I mean, if Asuka puts over Carmella, that would be something else too right there, man. Batman, that would be a hell of a story.
That actually would be a hell of a story, right? I was actually thinking while you were talking about that, I was thinking, like, well, would they let Asuka lose to Carmella? Because I think she's her only loss has been to Charlotte, which, I mean, Charlotte is, I mean, she's the queen, man. She's Charlotte, so that's a legitimate loss there, you know what I mean? But would they let her lose to Carmella? But then that also brings the point to, if Carmella, this would be her first title defense, official one, right? So then to lose it on her first official title defense, then that just makes her kind of look like a flash in the pan kind of champion, like when Dolph Ziggler won his. I think the same thing happened to Dolph Ziggler too, though. He held it for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, right? He won it for the Money in the Bank cash in, and I think he lost it like his first or second title defense.
Well,
so you don't really remember
that
run.
Yeah, a couple of notes is this would be Carmella's second title defense because she defended in Backlash against Charlotte.
That's right. And being
the
queen.
That is true.
And then Asuka lost. She has a second loss with Becky Lynch as a tag team against the Iconics where Becky Lynch is the one that took the pin.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, but it wasn't Asuka who actually got pinned, though. That's what I mean.
Okay.
Her actual first
clean
pin has been through Charlotte, right?
Yeah. Joe Bates.
So this would be where Carmella actually pins her. Ooh, that's, I don't know.
Yeah. That would be huge.
If Carmella pinned Asuka.
That would be huge.
You bring a good point. You bring a good point about that promo. She cut a hell of a promo. She held her own out there. She didn't even look scared or like lost or anything. Like she just looked natural. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that comment she was saying about the people waiting in line and the camping outside of a hospital to see a royal baby. But they wouldn't show her the respect she deserves.
Oh, yeah.
She likes to shit on them.
Everything
she
about
does
the
a
world
good job
right
shitting
now.
On people. Becky Lynch versus Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville. Becky Lynch versus Mandy Rose versus. So, a tag team, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Tag team versus Becky Lynch. They thought it was going to be, handicap match or what have you until they were informed. No. They kind of went against each other during the match, but they pulled off. Becky Lynch ended up winning, making Mandy tap out, no less, while Sonya was outside, I think. I think she was outside of the ring. Anyway, Joe Bates, your thoughts on Becky Lynch winning and going on? Could she possibly become Miss Money in the Bank?
I was really confused at the way that whole match was done. Because I thought Mandy Rose qualified last week.
I did too.
She didn't. So I just didn't really understand what was going on. And then they just gave it to Becky Lynch, which is fine, you know. I don't see Becky Lynch winning Money in the Bank at all. So it's just kind of like, it was just very confusing. So I'll keep it quick because I know we're almost out of time. But yeah, I was just very confused by it all.
It was confusing. I was confused by it, too, because I, too, thought that Mandy Rose had won last week when she won her first match against whoever it was, but apparently it wasn't. That man, Becky Lynch.
I think they just switched it on the dime. Just like, I think what they're going to try to do is, since the whole Paige is now the general manager, Absolution obviously isn't there no more. Well, here's a way for them to just kind of get each other single run. So why don't you put the tag team together in a match so they can – there's a little moment or a chance where they – like, I think they had that, right? They faced each other a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
They went at it, you're right. So here's a way for them to just kind of split up and see who's going to be the bigger star. I think the way they set that up was having Becky Lynch get the finish over Mandy Rose and Sonya just being out there outside of the ring. You know what I mean? To not make her look so as weak as Mandy, you know? So I think that's probably what they're doing, maybe. It's just like planting that seed, inception, you know? Like, I think it's just time for them to split. Let's get them their own little run now. They, you know, we tried to do what they did with
Rose.
The tag team. It didn't work, so.
Yeah, I like Mandy Rose's entrance, how they blur out everything and make her the center with those little lights, dazzling lights or whatever the hell you want to call them. That's pretty intriguing. Let's see here. So then we have next week, Samoa Joe versus Big Cass in a Money in the Bank qualifying match. And Billy Kay versus Lana was also mentioned for next week. So that's going to be interesting because I thought Lana had given it up, but apparently not. So we'll see how that goes over for her. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And I kind of figured Shinsuke Nakamura would win this match in some type of bullshit. And that's exactly what happened. They had a good hard-hitting match, though, before the crap at the end, a match that was pretty lengthy. I'm not going to go through the whole match and give you details and play-by-plays and shit, but it was a damn good match, man. That Shinsuke Nakamura, man, he'll beat the shit out of you. I mean, he hits freaking hard, and AJ Styles hits hard, too. Those guys hit hard. You can hear those hits and those kicks and stuff, man, and they're not backing down. So at the end of the ring, AJ was on the apron, and he went for the Styles Clash, but Nakamura ducked, and AJ was getting ready to hit to get him, but the referee got in the way or some type of shit like that. Nakamura ended up pretending that he took a low blow.
Eddie Guerrero day.
And then there was a little thing going on between AJ and the referee. And then next thing you know, Nakamura just hit him with the reverse exploder.
Oh, yeah.
And then he popped the knee to the face. And it was it, man. It was curtains for AJ Styles. 1, 2, 3. So obviously the feud went on without Samoa Joe. Because, as you know, Samoa Joe was coming just last week or 2 weeks ago. He was coming for whoever won, you know, between AJ and Shinsuke. But they sidetracked Samoa Joe with, you know, that Rudy Pooh Taz. And here we go with another match. Probably at Money in the Bank. And I'm hoping this match headlines Money in the Bank. And I'm hoping it has a badass stipulation. Something we haven't seen in a while that we don't know. But Shinsuke's going to pick the stipulation. Is what it is. So, Joe Bates, this match.
Fantastic match. I can watch these guys wrestle over and over and over again.
Right?
These guys are great. I like the twist of Shinsuke faking like it, hitting the nuts. I'm trying to figure out what stipulation it's going to be. My guess, because it's Money in the Bank, they're not going to do like a steel cage or Hell in a Cell thing. My guess is it's probably going to be either Last Man Standing or maybe an Iron Man match.
They have to do something where it's no DQ where they can rack each other in the nuts as many times as they want and it doesn't count for sure. Whatever kind of match it is, it has to be no DQ so they can, you know, eventually something has to give with them. But I agree, man. These guys, I could watch them every day, all day. I mean, they just go. Batman, what about you, man? What are you thinking here? Stipulation match?
My stipulation that came up, first, before we even start, how dare you not even, like, give any notice to Rusev Day? I mean, both Mr. and Mrs. Rusev, Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank, Rusev Day? Come on. You just, like, really just, like, went to the next segment like it was nothing. Like, it was just like, oh, I don't like to see or just whatever. Ooh, exactly. That's trash. I'm so disappointed. How did you not even bring that up, man? That was like a good segment.
Shit.
He was going to come out with a new song and everything, and you just like, threw it away? No, that doesn't know. Life
well,
doesn't work that way.
Fuck it. Take us back to it, Batman. Roll the tape.
But now that we go past that, we can go to the AJ Nakamura. I love what the Nakamura. One thing that I mentioned before, I wish he would do the Japanese promos, man. If he's going to be heel, I think it would just be even better if he was like, I'll sit him, hit him, then he'll do something. Say something Japanese or something. Just cut a promo. I'll sit him, then you. You know, something. And then say, no, speak English after every other one. And, you know, and then I would get him over so sweet. And then, like you said, that low blow, that was like, I love RIP. I miss that guy, Eddie Guerrero. Like, I just, the first thought in my mind was like, that's what Eddie would have done. And then, I think for the match, man, like you said, it's a TLC. It's the Money in the Bank. So I don't think they're going to do a ladder. If it was me, and it's just like throwing something at random, I would say Rochambeau would be like the best match. Because they're going to kick each other in the nuts. Then they're just going to have to go and kick each other in the nuts until somebody gives up completely. And then that, I guess that would be part of, like, the last man standing, right? So last man standing, no disqualification, Rochambeau rules. And there you go. But I don't ever get tired of watching these guys. They kill it. They put on the clinic every single time. They never disappoint. They know what they're doing. You can hear them beat the shit out of each other, man. And I love that. That really... It brings you back to the old days of like Stone Cold and The Rock when they were just, you could hear the smack, you know, and that's when people were like, yes, you knew it was, we'll say, quote unquote, fake, but people still gave it that respect because it wasn't like, you know, when they try to give you like a drop kick and the guy's like 3 feet away and the dude still sells it, you know, that doesn't like, I think Jeff Hardy did that not that long ago, like a couple Raws ago, right? Or SmackDowns ago when he did the whisper in the wind, and then he didn't even Jinder Mahal. He didn't even hit him, and he just fell down like nothing. Like,
was that
knock you down or something? Was that like a G-force wind or something knock you down? But yeah, these guys they throw potatoes, and I'm excited. I can't wait. I think they're gonna build it all the way up to WrestleMania next year. I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
That match, man. I hope they headline that pay-per-view. If they don't headline that pay-per-view, man, it's going to be a damn shame.
Yeah, there you go. I'm looking on that one.
Well, shit, guys. Thank you for shitting all over me on Rusev Day. I really deserve that. Really. You're absolutely right, man, because how fucking dare me? All right, guys, that does it for the SmackDown, and let's see here. Man, maybe real quick, there was something I saw today. Let's see here. What was it? Real quick, maybe. Enzo Amore, man. He's done with that deal. Oh. Yeah, he's done.
He was next to his grandma or his mom or something.
He didn't get charged. Anybody.
Do you think they're still going to try to hire him later? I think he barely even had a career there. I don't think they're even going to try to bring him back.
You never know. I mean, he was hanging on by a thread, I think. I mean, he was entertaining, but shit, it was getting old. It was getting old. Joe Bates.
Well, the merchandise, but I mean, other than that,
the locker room was already hated him. The other wrestlers didn't like being around. The reason he got fired wasn't even necessarily the case. Was the fact that he didn't tell WWE it was going to happen.
WWE doesn't like
people that aren't loyal to the brand or people they can like control or trust. So I can't imagine he'd be back. And there's not a lot of fans asking for him to come back either.
I don't see him. I had already forgot about him. Personally, so. You know, he's gone, but, you know, I mean, I don't miss him. I mean, I don't miss the guy. I mean, Batman, thank you very much for joining us, man. Go ahead and check yourself out.
Yeah, I guess I'll just check myself out. You don't have to go home.
Check it out,
you can't stay here.
You don't have to go home.
Anything you want to promote, man? Anything at all? You got anything coming up? Eggs and potatoes on the stove.
I have the Thank You Very Much podcast. Feel free to like it on Facebook. I'm going to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Friday and Saturday for the Comedy Zone, I think it's called. And then, just like the Facebook page. Thank You Very Much if you want. Other than that, I gotta go head out. Take care, Mr. Sinister. Take care, Batman.
Thank you very much, Joe Bay.
As always, man, Joe Bates had some awesome analysis there. Batman, anything you want to say on the way out, buddy?
Not much. If you can, just follow me, Facebook, Instagram, Batman_EST1987. And have a great weekend, everybody. Have a great weekend.
And you and I will stay in touch about this weekend, see if we can set up that little jamski, man. And, all right, ladies and gentlemen, for everybody here at Fatal 4-Way Radio, I am Internet Radio's own, Minister of Sinister, and check us out also on WrestleCorp.com, and remember, everybody, to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. Until next week, everybody, thank you very much.
presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.